Now, I have a brief word that I want to share with you this morning, and then see if we can get you out of here before the Presbyterian Church gets out so that you can beat them to the restaurant. This last week, I mentioned to you that our home group was had retreated, had gone off to spend some time together, and I recommend that, by the way, for those of you who are entering into deeper and more intimate relationships, that you learn to spend time with each other. It's fun to come together like this and to have a room full of people and to do a lot of greeting and hugging and speaking. But it's impossible to have fellowship with 700 or 800 people. You can only have that with just a few if it's going to be any kind of deep ministry that's involved also. And so I really recommend that to you. One of the things we did this last week was that we got the tape from the last Sunday morning service, Art Katz, who was here at the Tabernacle, and put the tape recorder out in the middle of the floor and turned it on and listened to the message from last Sunday morning. I had already heard reports from several who had said there's no gray feeling concerning Art Katz. It's all black or it's all white, and nobody is really confused about the message. Either they loved it or they hated it, but nobody is confused. They drew conclusions, and have already made their minds up. So, with that in mind, I listened to Art's message. Those of you who we're not here or who are visiting, Arthur Katz is a Messianic Jew. I wrote a book with him a number of years ago called Ben Israel. He was a Marxist. He's an intellectual. I came out of a Marxist socialist background. Came to know Jesus Christ in a dynamic way while he was making an odyssey through Europe in search of himself. And instead of finding himself, he found Jesus. That was all culminated in the land of Israel. And since that time, Art Katz has marched across this nation and across this world with a message, a flaming, dynamic, hard message. Art carries a sharp sword, and he, I don't know, Bob, whether it's because of his Jewish nature or not, but he likes to swing it at people's ears every once in a while. He's doing that. He's going after the servants of the high priest, he enjoys chopping ears off. And if you don't draw your sword, why, he'll tempt you with his. He's that kind of fellow. He's brash. He's arrogant. Has caused a lot of problems every place he's been. It would probably just be good to cancel this whole tape this morning, you know. But I've known this about Art. When I was researching Ben Israel, we spent 2 weeks together in the same little cabin up in North Carolina, and it was a tough 2 weeks. Tough 2 weeks. Art and Inger and their children were there, and Jackie and I were there together, and there was a lot of conflict. There was a lot of conflict while I was writing the book with him, and there's been conflict every time we have met together. We have clashed. Those with the gift of mercy and those with the gift of prophecy always clash. Mercy and prophecy clash. My wife is a prophet, and that's the reason that there's always flint and steel working in our home together, with the resulting sparks, and those who come in with gunpowder usually get blown up in the middle of all of that. But that's the way it works in the kingdom. Now, if you're in relationship together, that's all right. If you're in a trust kind of relationship, so Jackie and I can really battle, and we do. I want to give away everything. She wants to keep everything. Well, that's not really so. She likes to give some things away, and I like to keep some things. But basically, we're clashing in many, many areas. And she sees everything in black and white. The prophet always does. The prophet is always able just to hone right through. The prophet comes with a pointed finger and says, that's the way it is. And oftentimes the person with the gift of mercy is always trying to be the peacemaker and work things out. And that causes problems too. I've caused a lot of problems in this church because of my gift of mercy. I do. Fellow elders know that I got God's gift of vacillating. And I love to hear both sides of the argument and agree with all of it. And so God has tempered me by giving me a prophet for a wife or a prophetess. At least she has the gift of prophecy, which works in her. Turn a man loose who has the gift of mercy, and he will eventually destroy a church. Turn a man loose who has the gift of prophecy, and he will eventually destroy the church. He'll probably do it quicker than the person with the gift of mercy. But that will destroy it. That's the reason the body has to work together. We must have one another. We must not take any single individual and focus in on that, but there must be a body ministry to where we are constantly correcting and augmenting and encouraging one another. Now, Art Katz has the gift of prophecy, and he prophesied last Sunday. Made a lot of people mad. Others wanted to say, glory, hallelujah, I'm glad you finally socked it to them. Everybody say, I'm glad you socked it to me. But I'm glad you finally got them. You're going to miss it also, unless you understand that God's message is to us personally. It's not to anybody else. I heard several folks say, boy, I sure am glad that he finally got those space people set right. And he finally got the citrus fruit folks set right, too. All that stuff about orange juice. And he got the long-haired kids set right. He hit everybody, is what it sounds like to me. Those that felt comfortable with it were those who had been wanting somebody to say something about those things about them out there. Anyway, now, let me say something about the prophet who comes into our midst. Because Art Katz came into our midst last Sunday. And I want to confirm that what we heard, I heard it on the tape, was a message from God. It was a prophetic message from God. But you'll miss it if you start applying it to somebody else. It would have been better for him not to have come if all he did was come and drive a wedge between you and your kids who have long hair, because he had something to say about it. He was not talking to you about your kids. He was talking to you about you. That's where the word needs to come. He was not taking pot shots at the shuttle that took off from the Cape. He's taking pot shots at every one of us who says that materialistic things are more important than spiritual things. And we must hear that message. Now, the prophet always uses the things around him to illustrate what God is saying. You go back through the scriptures and you look at the prophets that appeared in the scriptures, they were all troubled people. They were out in the desert eating locust and wild honey, or they were running from the Jezebels, or they were scared to death, or they were proclaiming God's wrath and judgment because they had something insecure inside of themselves. I've never met a prophet yet that wasn't a troubled and bothered individual, and I've only met one that I've wanted to live with. And that's simply because God said, do it. I'm glad Art Katz doesn't live here. I'm glad that he comes as prophets ought to come on occasion. To deliver a message. And then to flee before we stone him, because if he had come back again the second day. We literally had this experience in a church in North Carolina 10 years ago when I was working on Ben Israel with Art Katz. And we were staying at Hendersonville, North Carolina, and there was a little mountain church over there that had invited Art and me to come and preach. For 2 weeks, the pastor was gone, and they thought that would be good to have Messianic Jew and a writer to come and speak at their church, Little Mountain Fundamental Baptist Faith Church. And so we went. We were going to speak 2 weeks. I was going to speak Sunday morning, Art Sunday evening, and then we were going to reverse it the next week. And Art was going to speak Sunday morning, I was going to speak Sunday evening. We went the first Sunday, and Monday morning there was a committee meeting in the church, and they decided they would go out and get a mountain preacher to handle the second Sunday. I irritated them because I said the Holy Spirit was for today, and Art irritated him because he came storming up and down the platform and told him to get right with God. And we don't like to hear that. Nobody likes to hear it. Now, the danger comes when we begin to look at the life of the prophet and say, well, I can't hear that message because look at that vessel that it's coming from. It's coming from a man who's confused, coming from a man who's frustrated, coming from somebody who's angry. And I don't want to hear a message from an angry man. I want to hear a message from somebody who loves me and has their arms around me. You guys around here are spoiled. You really are. And we have a prophet come into our midst, and it shakes everything up. Because we're not to look at the man, especially with the prophet. If you have a pastor, you have an apostle who's here in your midst, you examine that life, and that's right to examine that life. But when you have a prophet come in, we don't examine the life. We just listen to the message and let him go. And he goes on, having delivered a message, and it came. And those of you who were not here last Sunday and don't know what I'm talking about, you need to get the tape and listen to it, because it's a clear, ringing declaration of God about values. And we need to hear that. The body of Christ needs to hear. Now, you can't hear it Sunday after Sunday. It'll break your legs, and you'll fall down. You can't carry that kind of thing Sunday after Sunday. So it has to be tempered with many other things. But that was as clear a word as I've ever heard on the concept of values. And so I hope that we can dismiss from ourselves the fact that Art Katz lives in a community up in northern Minnesota in a dented trailer. Because some of you heard, well, he wants me to go live in a dented trailer. I can't really follow God unless I give away everything I have and go up there in the northern parts at 50 degrees below zero. And that's not so. It's not so. Now, the prophet may feel that that's the only way it can be done. But you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to temper that in your life. Any more than you are all not called to go to Columbia with the Salens and the Smokes and to literally risk your life to a sniper's bullet down there, you're not called to do that. But you are called to some high calling, whatever that may be, and that must be done with a sense of Christian values when it's done. Now that's the message that's coming. And we need to hear it time and time and time again. That's what being saved really amounts to. It amounts to be cleared and freed up on the inside to where we can hear what God is saying to us. Now, I'm not prepared to endorse fully Art Katz. I'm not prepared to endorse fully any man. But I am prepared to endorse that message that I heard. And I hope you can take it and filter it through the Holy Spirit as you would your Mr. Coffee machine. So the grounds don't come through, but the good stuff does. And then you can drink that which is there. Now, I'm proud to be part of a body like this that's mature enough that they can hear a prophet when he comes in. I'm glad to be part of a body like this to where folks like me and Herman Riffle, who really have no appreciation for music that the living sound does, can sit here and say, hallelujah, we're glad for that kind of thing. And then when Calcio comes with his cello, the rest of you can be glad, because we are glad when that happens at the same time. That we're part of a body that's learning to move together and to respect one another, and we can have a man come in who can deliver a hard and stinging message, and we can say, hallelujah, I want to hear what God is saying to me in the midst of that message. So all I heard was the message, and I heard a message to me.
message to my heart that was saying, look at your values, man of God. What are they? Are you putting more values in material things than you are in spiritual things? And that's a word that needs to come over and over and over again. Three things I believe God wants. Well, I think there's probably more than three, but I'll just list three this morning. I believe God wants to reveal himself. I think that's at the very heart of God, in the center of his heart, is he wants to reveal himself to his people. He's not hiding. God's not hard to get to. God's not off behind a bush or a rock, and we have to go searching for him. God is in the business of revealing himself. Living Sound sang about Buddha and Muhammad and all of the other religions of the world which are seeking religions. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a revelation. God has revealed himself to us through Christ. We don't have to seek for anything. All we have to do is receive what he's given. God wants to reveal himself, and he will send men along to those who really love him to kind of pull back the curtain a little bit and say, you think you can stand the glory of God? Take a look at this, and there's a strobe that hits us. You know enough about strobes, strobe lights, to know that you can only take a blink. You can't take that steady light. It'll bind you, and so it blinks all the time. And that's what the message of the prophet does. He's revealing God, but he's doing it in blinks. Pastor comes along with a kind of a warm, steady light. He lights our footsteps. The strobe lights 30 years ahead of time, like that. And so the prophetic message does that. And we're at a stage here at the Tabernacle Church to where we can receive that. And I'm happy for that. I'm delighted that we can do that and not get all bent out of shape when that kind of thing happens. God wants to reveal himself. The second thing I believe that's at the heart of God is he wants us to receive him. It's his desire that we receive him. Not only that he reveals himself to us, but that we respond back to him in love. And that when he gives his love to us, that we respond back. Do you know what it's like to say to your wife or your husband or to your children or to some friend, I love you, and to have them just kind of stand there like that? You know what that does to you? I know what it does to me. I know when Jackie and I are in one of our infrequent arguments, and one of us will go to the other in the clash and the heat of the argument, and will say, I love you, and to have the other one say, not now. And then I want to say, well, by golly, you're going to love me anyway, you know. And God's not like that. It's just that his heart is broken when we don't respond back with his love. He's constantly saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And what he wants is to hear us say it back. That's the reason that he abides in the praise of his people. When we begin to praise him and worship him and tell him that we love him and show it forth with our life. And by the way, praise is not limited to Sunday morning. Praise is something you walk out day after day after day. You dream it at night. You live it in the daytime. You praise God with every breath that you have. You recognize his presence in every flower and every cloud and every snowstorm and every dust storm. Everything you see, there is the presence of God, and you see him in the midst of that. That's praise. And God abides in that, and he comes and he reveals himself. And so it's met with his revelation and our response. We receive him. Jesus says, if you really want to know what God's like, you must look at me, because I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You don't go by anybody else. It's not the matter that Buddha is not a prophet. I think Buddha may have had some prophetic concepts. Muhammad had some prophetic concepts, but you can't get to God through them. Because only Jesus is the Son of God. I'm not afraid of Buddha or Muhammad or any of the rest of them. They're all getting little bits of pieces of truth around the edge, but it's Jesus who is the heart of God. And so I really don't need to go around the edge. I can go straight to the heart. And that's all I really need is in Jesus, because everything, all things, are in him. So God's heart is for us to receive him. There's a third thing I believe that God wants. And that is that God wants to reproduce himself through us. He wants to reveal himself. He wants us to receive him. And he wants to reproduce himself through us. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, by the way. The Holy Spirit has come so that Jesus can be reproduced through us. And so that every place we go, others will know, there goes Jesus. That's the reason when we touch each other in ministry like this, it's the body of Christ that's touching. You take the hand of someone. I woke up this morning and reached over and laid my hand on my wife, and she was sleeping. And I suddenly realized that's Jesus who's touching Jackie this morning. It was the Spirit of God flowing through me as I reached over and prayed for her. And I do that every morning, at least if we're in the same bed. I reach over and I lay my hand on her and I minister to her before she wakes up, because I invariably wake up before she does. And I lay my hand on her and I know that that's Jesus blessing my wife before she wakes up. I pray for her. I pray for her day. I pray for her protection. And I bless her like that. Now we do that to each other. That's God being reproduced through us. Jesus doesn't walk into my bedroom. He's there in me. And when I touch my wife, the Christ in her responds to that. Even if she's asleep, he responds. He's calling for a reproduction through us. And just as people get married and reproduce themselves so that there's children that come as a result of that union, so when you get married to God through Jesus Christ, there is a reproduction that God wants to do through you. He wants to impregnate you with his Holy Spirit, so that as you go, there are reproductions of God every place you go. And there are new baby Christians that are being born. That's the reason that the whole concept of the church must be evangelism, must be outreach. If all we do is come together as a little bless me club, then we'll die. We'll grow old and we'll just wrinkle up and die. And he's saying, no, have children, have children, have children. Reproduce. Let me reproduce through you. What a joy it is to realize that there's somebody who knows Jesus Christ because of you. I recommend that to you. God revealing himself, you receiving God, and then the Holy Spirit reproducing Jesus Christ through you. Now, that's done through many ways. The Bible is filled with concepts of how God sends his people around to help us with that. Art Katz was part of that process last week. That's not all. There's many other things that are part of that process. But hear the prophet when he comes. Respond to the pastor when he comes to put his arms around you. Listen to the teacher as he interprets God's word. Submit yourself to the apostle as he takes oversight over the body of Christ. Support the evangelist as he goes out to share the word of God with many others. At least five ministries that Paul lists in Ephesians 4, which are for us today, plus many others that I think that he gives. We're one body. We're together. We're coming together as a family. We're learning some things. Don't reject that which God sends into your life in many areas. At this conference that we were at with Bob Mumford and Peter Lord this last week, and I'll close with this. I have to close before the Presbyterians get out. Okay. Peter was asking a whole series of questions that he was asking the folks and asking them to come back and give their response to them. And one of the questions he asked was this. He said, if you came home after having been off for a couple of days and you came into your house and there was an envelope that had been slipped under your door, and you opened the envelope and there was cash in it, $10,000 cash in it, with no name on it, who would you thank for that? Who would you praise? Who would you give glory to? Well, who would you? You don't know where it's come from. You really don't. So who would you thank? What would be the first concept of thanks that we got? To God? Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, what if you've been gone for two or three days and you come in and you open your door and somebody has been in your house and has stolen every stick of furniture? They have backed a van up to your house and everything is gone. The rugs have been ripped up. The light switches have been ripped off the wall. Every piece of furniture is gone. Everything is out of your house. Who would you thank for that? Or who would you blame? Are you able to say, thank you? Here you are out there saying, oh, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Lord, Lord, I really want to serve you. Lord, do anything in my life that's necessary. I've got some great needs. Would you meet those needs? And you go in your house and there's $10,000 and you say, thank you, Lord, for meeting my need. Then you come back 3 days later and all your furniture is gone. Could it be possible that God is saying something to you about material values? Is he saying something to you about where the important things in life are? Are you able to see God, and this is the question, in every circumstance, and hear him as he speaks through every oracle? Those who have ears to hear, let him hear. Let's stand together. Lord, I believe your Holy Spirit can do something in our hearts this morning in the area of conviction, that we might go out from this place equipped with a desire to serve you and to live for you. Let us no longer be satisfied with living our lives on a material plane. Lift us up to where we can be moved by your Holy Spirit, to where our lives are so motivated and directed by him that we will not stumble or fall regardless of what comes into our way. In the name of Jesus, amen. Go in the peace of the Lord.